processes continuing. We have responded in a very detailed manner to the statement of objections of the commissions, and we expect the process to proceed and to end, meaning we expect a decision on the case by the European Commission during the fourth quarter of this year. If we look at the results, considering the context that we are facing since 1.5 years within the process of the M&A transaction, great thanks to our team and our partners, because basically the growth story of MásMóvil continues. We have a telco service revenue increase of 5% year-on-year, that is more than any other operator that has recently published in Spain results. Total revenues also increased by 2.5%. Almost 1.5 billion euros in the first half of the year. If you look at the bottom line in EBITDA, pre-IFRS, we see a 20% year-on-year growth, and adjusted EBITDA a 12% growth to over 600 million euros. This is a very relevant growth. Obviously, we have also some seasonality effect, positive seasonality effect in these results, but overall, we in terms of clients, we continue our growth. We have been growing in the second quarter by over 160,000 clients in postpaid and in broadband. Also prepaid, we had a positive evolution with 56,000 additional prepaid clients. In net debt, we are stable, even slightly decrease quarter on quarter, so no big news regarding the debt. So if you look at our revenues on page 2, we see an increase overall in 2.5%, so other revenues and other service revenues slightly decrease. Please recall that the other service revenues refer especially to energy, commercialization, and we all know that the prices of the energy have been going down. However, we started to grow this year again in clients and energy, so positive evolution. And the core, our core business, the telco service revenues increased by 5%. A very positive evolution regarding the revenues. If you look at the bottom line, page 3, we have the details on the growth in EBITDA pre-IFRS and the adjusted EBITDA growth. We have a very relevant growth, 20% in pre-IFRS and 12% in adjusted EBITDA. That this is an easy comparison because it compares with Q2 last year, which was the lowest EBITDA level, but still significant growth, and also we see an increase of the EBITDA margin that is quite relevant, above 40% margin. Please just recall the difference in terms of pre-IFRS EBITDA is basically IFRS 15 and 16, more or less two-thirds to IFRS 15. If you look at the client evolution, we see that we basically grow page 4 in all our main services, so broadband lines, mobile postpaid, and also mobile prepaid. That's a very positive evolution, so we keep, despite of a, let's say, complex market, our growth momentum in clients. In CapEx, on page 5, basically, we are in line with our estimates and our plans. We maintain a modest level of 11% of recurrent CapEx. change is basically quarter on quarter, we are slightly down from 6,442,000,000 to 6,436,000,000. But overall, this is a stable evolution, and that's quite remarkable if you consider the, let's say, increase in financing costs that we had to support. But let's say, due to the positive evolution of the business, this was possible. In net leverage, we are also basically stable, 5.2 times EBITDA regarding total debt and 4.3 times on senior secured. So no big surprises there. So that's a quick presentation, and we are happy to respond to your questions.
Thank you, Rini. So we move now to the Q&A. Again, let me refresh star 5 to place a question on the queue. And we have a question from Josh Mills from BNP Paribas. Josh, your line should be open by now.
Hi, guys. Hopefully you can hear me, and thanks for the question. A couple from me. So, Lee, I wonder if you could perhaps elaborate a little bit, if possible, on the response to the statement of objections. I think in the past, both you and Orange have made the case as to why you think you're the market or your competitors, and any colour around kind of the remedy discussion, if possible, would be much appreciated. And I guess it's related to that. Do we expect to see any news flow on potential remedies in the next few weeks? And you know, finally, you talk about 4Q. So I might be splitting hairs here, but are you basically saying that you expect the deal and the regulatory approval process to close in October rather than September? That's the first one. And then the second question would just be the standard commentary around the competitive environment, what you're seeing in terms of your own price dynamics, anything from competitors, because clearly, you know, despite the slightly slower broadband net adds, service revenue is on the top of their business here, so it picks up a couple of percent in terms of growth in the quarter. Thanks.
Yes. Sorry, Josh, the second question was regarding competitive dynamics. What do you refer exactly? What are you interested in? Promotion level?
Yes, the promotion level. Any how you're seeing the broader competitors, that would be why you think people will be more aggressive on discounting, which we have seen before, sort of at the lower end, and where do you see opportunities to, you know, still tear people up to the faster and more expensive products, which it looks like you're doing given the pickup in service revenue trends?
Okay, let's go to the first question, you know, in terms of timing, and a bit our responses. No, I mean, for us it's quite clear. No, Spain is probably the most competitive telecom market in Europe, and that we don't see a relevant change post protection. These dynamics we rather argue that the competitive dynamics could even increase in some segments where, for instance, MásMóvil is not very strong right now. No? So nothing changed. We have, I think, done a very detailed response to the statements of objections, and now we are in the process of discussions with the European Commission. And we expect those discussions not to come to a conclusion before Q4. Overall, obviously the market in Spain is very special. No? We have 33 MVNOs, so mobile. And MásMóvil is not a full MNO neither, so it's very different from a traditional 4-3 transaction. We have very strong growing players. Avatel has multiplied by 10 its revenues in the last 3 years. Digi is the fastest growing operator the fastest growing operator in Europe. So we have a very special situation. Not easy to analyze such a dynamic market where basically the numbers of 2021 are not relevant anymore, but you have to look at the recent market dynamics and do also, let's say, a dynamic interpretation of the evolution of the market. So we are in this process, and we have, let's say, fluent discussions with the European Commission, and obviously it's the role of the European Commission to decide in the end if there are remedies necessary or not. In any case, in Spain, since we have so many players, as mentioned before, 33 and MVNO much. I mean, there are a lot of effects. Obviously, this we have quite a good operating leverage. Obviously, we have relatively stable fixed costs. When we have a good evolution of the business, now we have ARPU stable or slightly increased year on year. We have increased clients. We have a good evolution, for instance, of roaming in. We have a good evolution also of our, let's say, mobile data consumption, which is including 5G is a bit lower than initially expected. We have had in this quarter a modest but still tax recovery. So there are some seasonality effects on one hand. On the other hand, we compare also to the let's say lowest quarter in EBITDA last year. That was Q2. So overall, we are positive. We are focusing in the second half of the year on maintaining the growth in revenues, in service revenues, especially in telco service revenue, to be specific. I think that's very important because we believe the main challenge for us is in the sector, especially, is the top line growth, and we are focused very much on that. And we believe, by the way, that's not the guidance, but we believe that we will be able to maintain the revenue growth. On the other hand, we are also focused to have, let's say, a reasonable level of capex, gross capex in the second half of the year. We will manage, we are positive that we will manage it well, so that our cash generation profile maintains very positive.
That's absolutely true. Okay, the next question is coming from Jenny Farana from Goldman Sachs. Jenny, your line should be open by now.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, piggybacking slightly on Josh's question, my understanding is that the European Commission has been very focused on recreating competition. So I'd be interested to know kind of how much traction you've had with your arguments around the fact that this transaction wouldn't necessarily lead to infrastructure consolidation, as it were, given your infrastructure-like business model. Secondly, just on the Spanish market segmentation, could you give us any rough indication on the rate of growth of the value segment of the market? As you mentioned, DigiSpain being the fastest growing operator in all of Europe, but also some aggressive price points from Verdi, Avatel, etc. It would be great to understand how, given the price rises at the higher end, how far the value segment is really growing in the broader market. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of obviously the concern of the Commission that the competitive pressure is maintained in the market, we believe that doesn't change fundamentally because of the merging two companies out of 37 in the market. In terms of infrastructure, yes, you were right. MásMóvil is not a heavy infrastructure company. Basically, only 10% in broadband and of the assets in broadband are in property of MásMóvil, and on the other hand, just around 40% of the mobile traffic is managed in its own network. So this is clearly not a traditional 4-3 MNO transaction. I think the European Commission understands these specificities of the market. manufacturers. So this is also everything very singular. We are positive that the European Commission recognizes that in its evaluation of the case, and we are looking forward to the next weeks and months, and we believe that the European Commission will take a decision in Q4. In regards to the weight of the value segment, as mentioned before, overall, the ARPU in MásMóvil year on year is quite stable. Quite remarkable, because we are, you know, in the telco sector in Spain, we had a downward trend of, let's say, 30% revenue decrease over the last 10 years, and so we are quite satisfied with this evolution. It depends on the definition of value segment. If you just have, let's say, very tight interpretation and prefer just on, let's say, clients with premium content subscription, then there might be a slight decrease, but overall in the mid segment where we refer to, let's say, high data consumption, etc., there we have a strong interest in the Spanish market. So people are evaluating quite well, you know, good quality, good service, and here MásMóvil is basically leader. We have the best NPS in the market, so we are quite positive that we will have, let's say, good evolution also in the next few quarters.
Very helpful, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megi. Our next question is coming from Josh Bach from Apollo. Josh, I hope your line is open by now.
Hi there, thanks for the question. Just a quick one from me. On the working capital, there seems to be a pretty meaningful outflow in the quarter to June. Not sure if you already spoke about it. Sorry, I joined the call a little late. Could you please comment on that?
Yes, as always, the net working capital view that we provide accounts for mainly two things. One is the IFRS 15 impact, and also the what we call the ordinary or underlying working capital. In terms of the underlying working capital, in the first half, you see a slightly higher than 34 million cash drain, which is pretty much in line with what you saw on the first quarter. So there has been no significant major deviation. So things are coming from the accounting tricks on IFRS, which obviously have a little impact on cash.
Got it. So the outflow of a trade and other table, that's linked to IFRS 15, is that correct?
Most of it, correct. And what is not related, which is the traditional non-accounting driven working capital, has been fairly stable in first quarter versus second quarter, around 34 and 36 million in each one.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, just to let you know that if you want to put a question on the queue, you should press star 5. I think Josh Mills from BNP Paribas has a follow-up question. Josh, go ahead.
Hey guys. I'm taking advantage of the fact that no one else has asked me one, but to maybe go back to the last year's numbers, I just want to check one thing. So, you know, at the time of the initial Orange MásMóvil merger announcement, I think the guidance for the combined business was around 2.2 billion euros in EBITDA after lease. And, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think last year your underlying EBITDA after lease was about 1 billion. Orange is about 1.1. So
when we did the announcement 1.5 years ago, and we are pretty much in line with the plan that we had back then. So, I mean, this is obviously no guidance for the second half, but in general, so no, we don't see any significant deviations.
Let me venture, but this is just intuition based on our experience in the previous M&A transactions, which you know that over the last year we've been doing completing a number of M&A transactions, and we have gained some experience on assessing potential synergies. So we obviously we only have the initial paperwork, so to speak, because we were working as completely separate entities for the time being. But we feel also very strong on our initial indications on potential synergies. As I said, let's see what comes out once we get the green light and we are able to work together. But if you look what we have done in the past, we've been fairly accurate on our ability to start synergies.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we have a new question from Mathieu Rescaniers from TD. Mathieu, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I have one on the buyback of the senior notes. Buyback in the quarter. Is it there is a plan to continue to do so in the rest of the year, or what's the strategy?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it has been a very, thank you for the question. It has been a very opportunistic deal. So what we have seen is that, there was an opportunity of, you know, buying some bonds that were offered at a very interesting price at what we have done. So there's no need a specific plan on continue buying things. So, you know, they just a very opportunistic one. So the point is that we think that as you see in the market, what they have been good, very good opportunities to buy our bonds at a very good price. So that's we have taken a bit of that opportunity. Yeah, that's just that. It is just that. So there's not any further plan for continuous acquisitions. Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Jenny Falana from Goldman Sachs. Jenny, go ahead.
Sorry, I'll just jump in again. On the growth capital piece, could you maybe just directionally give us an indication of what your expectations are kind of on a more medium-term view in terms of kind of, is growth capital set to scale? Is it set to stabilize? Is it set to ramp down? Just keep to understand kind of what the medium-term capital intensity is on a standalone basis. Thank you.
Yes, growth capex has two elements, no? The commercial and the infrastructure growth. No? Overall, for this year, we would expect quite a stable evolution. So probably it's a bit below of our initial plan that we announced 1.5 years ago. But in general, we expect stability for this second half of the year.
And Jamie, this is really, you know, we've been pretty outspoken about it. Really, what many mentioned is on a standalone basis. One of the key strategic points and rationale behind the JV with Orange is obviously to be able to give up this capex investment on a joint operations mode. So obviously the view on capex changes from pre and post JV.
Very clear, thank you.
Well, I think we've gone through all the questions, unless you have a last minute pressing question, which I think is not coming. So I leave the floor to Manny for final remarks.
Thank you. Thank you again. I think we can all be satisfied with the results, especially considering, as I mentioned,